So tonight we're going to look at Acts 8:26-40. Now, Acts is the story of the early church. It was written by Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. But once he got done gospeling and explaining Jesus and everything, he wanted to tell people about what happened in the early church, because there was so much good stuff. And so, one of the deacons that was created was named Philip. Philip had 7 daughters, and they all were evangelists. So today, when people say you shouldn't have female evangelists, you tell them, wait a minute, what about Philip's daughters? He had 7 of them. So at any rate, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He'd come to worship in Jerusalem, and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, go join that chariot. When Philip ran up to him, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, he does not open his mouth. It is humiliation. Justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from him, taken from the earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about? Himself or another person? So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. But he went on his way, rejoicing. And Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and evangelizing all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. Help us to understand how we can use it. Guide us in leading people to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've called this using scripture, because so often we'll have somebody who will ask us a question, and we can use scripture to show them either exactly what the answer is, or to lead in to telling them about Jesus. Now, in this instance, he's reading the part, in Isaiah 53, where they were talking about the Jesus, and it says a lot of things that Jews don't want to see. And because they don't want to see it, and I just found this out when we was at the Northwest Baptist Convention, we ran into something called the Southern Baptist Messianic Congregation. And these are Jewish guys who came to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. And so I told them, I said, I've always thought that Christianity is nothing but a sect of Judaism. It started with Jews in synagogues, and it moved out. And the guys, it was interesting because they always refer to it as if it's them. And they say, yes, we ran the Christians out. We shouldn't have done that. But at any rate,
They believed it.
Just the way I said it. It began in Judaism and proceeded through Jesus, who was the Messiah, who by definition can tell you how to worship. Well, here we have, I asked one of them, and they said the reason they don't read Isaiah 53 is because the great rabbis, their big scholars, said, don't read it. It's not understandable. No, it's very understandable. It's just that they don't want to understand it. It's so clear that it scares them. At any rate, if you ever get hooked up with Chosen People Ministries, they have a book that they give out, a little pamphlet, that says, read Isaiah 53. And it explains it verse by verse by verse by verse. And they show it to Jews. And they say, you never read this. Here's an explanation of what it is. Here's why you need to read it. And here's why you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, who Isaiah is talking about 400 years before he was born.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so this is something that's very good. So, once again, this is a response, in a way, to people asking, what is ETF, or EWF, Eagle Wing Fellowship? What is Eagle Wing? And we're a church for people not comfortable in church who may have ideas about the scriptures that they don't understand that we can explain. Now, we used to have a lady who was here. The reason she's not here, we don't want to talk about. But at any rate, she had been a Catholic. And she said, I just can't believe that I can just ask you questions. We were never allowed to ask the priests questions. Well, that is what, to me, it should be. That's what Jesus did. They called him rabbi, so the rabbis should know the scriptures wall to wall. And when you ask them a question, they ought to be able to answer it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, once again, Jewish rabbis nowadays, you ask them a question about the New Testament, and they go, we don't do that. But at any rate, Eagle Wing is a place you can come, and you can learn about the scriptures. That's one of the reasons what it is. I love teaching the scriptures. Everybody who knows me knows that. Somebody asks me questions about the Bible, I love it, because you better settle in, because I'm going to be here a lot. That's just it. I love explaining scripture. But God's direction was for Philip to go out and find this guy. And then he said, go attach yourself. That's what the Greek says, attach yourself to that chariot. Now, this chariot was more like a carriage. It's not what we think of as a Ben-Hur chariot racing. It was, you know, big carriage-looking thing.
But it's important to know that Philip was not in the chariot.
No, he was on foot.
He was on foot.
Yeah.
And the Spirit took him there.
Right.
And then the Spirit took him back.
So he goes up, and we assume this guy must have been reading out loud. Because Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he goes, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? This makes no sense. And so then they began to talk. Now, the guy was a guy who worked in the actual terminology in Aramaic. It's pronounced Kandake, is the lady. Now, in Greek, they say Candace, and it's a regent for a young king. That's why they had her. It was like she was the regent for some young king that wasn't in a position where he could run the kingdom himself, so she was advising him. This guy was one of her officials. Now, Ethiopians were known worshipers of Yahweh, but they were not part of the holy people, right? And if you read in 2 Kings and Chronicles, you find where the Queen of Sheba, that's Ethiopia, the Queen of Sheba came to talk to Solomon. Now, there's a whole bunch of interesting thing tied up in this. You know, the Ethiopians will tell you that they went off to bed and did naughty things, and that their kings are now descended from King Solomon, who, you know, was doing naughty things with the Queen of Sheba. We don't know that. We don't have any actual proof of that. But we do know that the Queen of Sheba came, learned from Solomon, went back and instituted Judaism, which they didn't know was Judaism. They thought of it just as the worship of Yahweh. And in Ethiopia, they have an actual religion there that serves the same God the Jews do, but they have a lot less rules. Men don't have to go out and get circumcised, all these things. So they're not a part of the holy people, but they are worshipers of Yahweh and have been all this time. Okay? You often hear of people talk about Rastafarianism. Well, Ras Tofari was the actual name of Haile Selassie, who was the king of Ethiopia, or emperor, I guess, mm-hmm. at the end. And people worshipped him as a representative of God on earth. So it's a kind of a Jewish personal, cult of personality and all this kind of stuff. But at any rate, the Ethiopians have always, or at least since the time of King Solomon, they've been worshipers of Yahweh. So he's gone to Jerusalem for whatever reason, and he's coming back, and he's reading the Jewish scriptures, which he would do because he's Ethiopian and they worship Yahweh. But, not being a part of the holy people, he read stuff that the rabbis said don't read. He didn't know any better, so he read it. And it grabbed him by the heart, just like it grabs Jews by the heart today, if you could get them to read it. He's probably reading out loud, and Philip heard it. So he says, "Do you understand? I'll explain." So the eunuch is confused. Is this about Isaiah or somebody else? And Philip starts right there. He says he began at that scripture. He probably said something like, "No, it's not about Isaiah. He was a prophet who was prophesying about Jesus that, oh, by the way, it was less than 20 years ago that he was crucified," and boom, right on off into the gospel. Okay? And led the guy to the Lord right there. Now, we used to have, when I was way back in the 70s, when I was in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, we used to have a little game that some of us liked to play. Other ones didn't, but they liked to play because they would say, "Okay, I'm going to give you a scripture right out of the left field. I want you to tell me how you lead somebody to Jesus starting at that scripture." Well, if it's in any prophet, just about, I can tell them what the prophecy was and how that led into Jesus, and we're off. If it's in the New Testament, it's easy. It's always something about Jesus. You go. But that's the whole point, is Philip knew the scriptures. Now, the one thing to remember is there was no New Testament yet. There were no Gospels at this time. There was no book of Acts. It is the book of Acts that they're writing when you're reading this. So he starts in right there, explains to him who the prophet was talking about and what he was saying, and goes on and teaches him about it and leads him to the Lord. And the eunuch goes off joyfully reading the Bible now with this image of what's going on, and it's like, oh, now it all makes sense. Well, of course it does. He just got saved. He's got the Holy Spirit to guide him. The goal was to draw this Ethiopian eunuch into faith in Jesus. Did it beautifully. So he came to faith, and he wants to be baptized. Now this is where it gets a little bit controversial. Shouldn't be, but they do. Verse 37 is marginal. But if you take it out and you read around it, you find out that baptism is dependent on salvation, not the other way around. Some people look at it and say you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Verse 37 that they like to cut out says, if you believe, you can be baptized. So, whenever somebody is baptized in a Baptist church, I guarantee you, what they do is before they dunk them, they say, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I have. Okay, dunk. Right? My youngest son was very worried when I baptized him because he didn't think I was going to let him back up. This was because my middle son tormented him and said, no, I'll get bobbled here. That'll drown you. You know, this is a great chance for him. But at any rate, so the guy gets baptized, makes him very joyous, and the gospel spreads to a new land. So right now, if you go to Ethiopia, there's a place in Ethiopia, and they'll kill you if you try to go in it, that supposedly has the Ark of the Covenant inside it, and only one guy ever gets to go in, and they got a division of guys outside. You're not him, you're not going in. If that guy dies, then they all get together and they choose one. Okay, you're the guy. You can go in. Nobody else. But the guy will tell you, yes, the Ark of Covenant's in there. Is there. You know, I don't know if it is or not. I've had so many different people talk about where the Ark of the Covenant is. But the point is, the allegation was that when they sacked Jerusalem, that a bunch of Ethiopians grabbed the Ark of the Covenant. They get to do this because they were doing God's will. And they carried it to Ethiopia to guard it from the Babylonians. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. It's not in the Bible, but it's a tradition. Anyway, the gospel spread to a new land. There is a sect of Christianity in Ethiopia that's based on worshiping the descendants of David and Jesus, the descendant of David, who was the final Davidic king. But that's why they worship him, not because he's God's son, but because he's David's son. So it's a little strange, but if you ask them, they will tell you that you become saved by your belief in Jesus. I can deal with that. That's actually true. Okay? So what does this mean to us? Well, we need to follow God's leading. If God says, go do something, we need to do it. Which fits right into what I was saying in the very beginning. God told me, I want you to start this church. And so, scared the daylights out of me. For 30 years, people have been telling me, Walter, you will never, ever make a pastor. You don't have a pastor's heart. And then we opened Eagle Wing, and the guy was sitting me in my living room, pouring out his heart to me, and the Lord's whispering to me what to say. And I'm saying, if I say that, this guy is a ranger. He'll knock me out. God says, no, I'm the Lord, you're the servant, tell him what I said. So I did, and he started to cry. I'm going, what? And then all of a sudden, I had the words that God wanted to say to him. Mm-hmm. And the great fire-breathing prophet Walter, that had made everybody so mad and did not have a pastor's heart, suddenly had been turned into a pastor. Only God could do that. Mm-hmm. didn't really take that much. I still like to talk about what's wrong in some places, but I shouldn't do that. Anyway, we need to understand the Bible to be able to explain. There was a guy named Paul Ehrlich who said, "Know why you believe." And he wrote a book about it called, strangely enough, Know Why You Believe. And you read that, and when somebody challenges you, you know enough to be able to tell them why you believe what you believe. People will tell you, it's only a book. And then you turn back, and one of the big things that they tell you is, when you say, this is what happened with me, this is what God did for me, they have two choices. They can believe it, or they can call you a liar. But they're stuck. They can't try to prove to you it's not true, because you just told them it happened to you. So, that's it. We get to understand the Bible by daily study. We need to be reading the Bible and praying every day and getting to know the Lord. I have come into discussions with people where they were going to play this game of this scripture, that scripture, you know, taking it all out of context and so on. And eventually it always comes to the same thing. Guys, I've been saved for over 70 years. And I don't know who you're talking about. But I know God really well. And whoever you're talking about is not Him. That's my personal testimony. I know God when I see Him. And when I hear somebody else, I'm saying, that's not God. That's not Him. You need to be so close to God that when you see Him, you know Him. And when you see not Him, you know that's not Him. They say that's how they train counterfeiting agents. They don't show them counterfeits and say, this is how they counterfeit it, and here's what you look for if it's counterfeit. They say, this is what a real currency looks like. And they make them study it so that you hand them a bill and you say, is that real or not? And they look at it and you say, it's not real. Why? Well, see, this little thing here, whatever, and you catch these tiny little things. You know the Lord when you see Him. And you know it's not Him when it's just not Him. We should be able to start from anywhere in Scripture and get to the Gospel. If you look at the Bible, it's basically divided into two parts. The first three chapters in Genesis are how God created the world and man screwed it up. And everything else in Genesis and the whole rest of the Bible is about how God Himself fixed it. That's all when you come down to it. You learn what is in the Bible. And you can go from anywhere. It's all about Jesus. And if I started playing this little game with you about, oh, here's a scripture. Start from there and lead me to Jesus. You should be able to do that. All you have to do is say, how does this relate to Jesus? So then you tell people about Jesus. So then you go into the Gospel. It's that easy. Mm-hmm. We always hope to draw others to faith. When somebody asks you a question, you answer it. I've said many times, when people come to me who are coming to Evil-Wing here and they say, does the Bible actually say? Usually it doesn't. It's something that's some myth that somebody told them. Or it's close. Just enough that the devil's got it off. That people don't say, I don't want to buy into that. No, it's not what it says. This is what it says. Oh, I can deal with that. Or they'll come and they'll say, do you guys actually believe the following thing? Well, first of all, we may believe it. But it's not the most important thing. If you're not saved, the only thing that's important to you is getting saved. if I'm going to have fellowship with somebody, the only thing that's important is that he can tell people how to get saved. Then we can have fellowship. If somebody wants to have fellowship with me, did you get saved? Yeah. How did you do it? Okay, now we can have fellowship together. Once again, he comes back to the question, what has God done for you? Tell people what God did for you. Usually, you know, it starts out with, before I was saved, I was like this. I got saved, and now I'm like this. This is the improvement that God made in me. And nobody could have done that but God. There is great joy in knowing the Word of God. When somebody asks you about the Word of God, and you can just take off right there. Great joy. Like I say, I love teaching about the Word of God. My dad loved teaching about the Word of God, and he would torment me with it, which has turned me into a pastor. Because he made me learn the Bible to the point that if somebody asks me a question, I usually have an answer for it. Because I've studied the Bible for all this time. Okay? Great joy in knowing the Word of God. We need to start talking to everybody about Jesus. Lead them to the Lord and bring them to grow egoing fellowship. Not because I want a huge church, because I want more people going to heaven. There's this guy on TV right now. He says, I'm not trying to teach you all about heaven. I'm trying to take as many people with me as I possibly can. That's me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. I thank you that you use me to tell people about you. Help us all to do. Go with us throughout our lives. Help us to show Jesus in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.